if he has been writing all the connect metaphysics and mathematical physics using the integral model, and recently also he started writing on the interface between connect metaphysics and the quantum information theory. And for example, there is an article in the Review of Modern Physics about the entanglement of the quantum manifold system is one of the standard references about this topic. And then it's going to talk about the entanglement and topological order.
Thank you, Wakimasa. Thank you very much for the invitation. Actually, I would like to acknowledge, to thank Alyosha Hamma, who directly invited me from my place. Okay, today I would like to talk about this entanglement in a topological and topological order in so-called cluster states. Actually, I wrote a manuscript in the archive with these are the co-authors, Wong Min Son is from Singapore, Rosario Fazio is based in Pisa, but he also has some half position in Singapore, and Vlatko Vedral is a bit delocalized between Oxford and Singapore. I had discussions with these people, these are local Italian people, bodies also in South Italy. Many of the calculations were done by this Pietro Smacchia, he's a graduate student in Bari, let's say at least part of the second half of the calculations. Let's say I will start with some giving you some general ideas, very general discussions on the interplay between quantum information and condensed matter, and I'll make some short introduction to what are the main points that we would like to address. Then I will enter this so-called cluster Ising model, and it is a way to quench the cluster order with some exchange interaction, and we will see what Hamiltonian is in a moment. Okay, I will describe basically the phase diagram of the model through its exact solution, exploiting also some duality, and then I will make some connection between entanglement and this quantum phase transition of this specific model. Okay, let me tell you what entanglement is, basically in a nutshell. Let's assume we have a given system. This is my universe, A and B, and let's assume the total system is in a pure state. So I make some artificial bipartition of the system, and this is a subsystem A, this is a subsystem B. So I would say that the system is entangled if the wave function, let's say the total wave function of the global system, cannot be written as a product of psi A and psi B. So this is the most generic situation in which there is somehow some correlation between A and B, and this, let's say, produce or some sort of entanglement. So one important achievement in the subject was the observation made in 95 by this 96 by these people, proving that a measure of entanglement is given by an entropy. Sorry, I forgot the minus sign. So this measure of entanglement is an entropy, is the entropy of this reduced density matrix, say of the say hobby, which is obtained by tracing out, for instance, the part B from A. Okay, so it's a, this is a partial, actually hobby is obtained as a partial trace, and this is just the trace in the space in which the hobby itself is a matrix. So this is a, I think this was a very important point, because, of course, entanglement is in quantum mechanics since basically the very beginning of when the quantum mechanics was founded. But with this, so one good question could be, why do you study these connections, or why do you study entanglement right now, let's say, in 2010? I mean, after all, quantum mechanics basically, let's say, it's important, very important, let's say, entanglement. It's entanglement, right? So the answer is that as a keyword, is a measure. So we want to establish some quantitative description of entanglement. Say we want to construct a table in which in some column we make a state, in the other column we would like to make a number, which is the entanglement encoded in the state. So this is quantitative description of the entanglement encoded in the state. Of course, this was the, one of the first time in which people provided the measure of entanglement. So, of course, there was a intense activity, especially in people in computer science, and providing a set of tools analyzing the entanglement and confidence state. Okay, I skip all these developments in which these people provided these good measures. Here I make some very short summary of what are the motivation of the this subject, exploring entanglement in condensed matter, and more generally in many body systems. Let's say, usually, when I say usually, I think of, let's say, the kind of analysis that was done in traditional textbooks in many body physics. So usually we say, I have a many body system, and to describe the system, I consider spectral properties, say the spectrum of the system. I consider specific heat, susceptibility, and things like that, okay? All these quantities are very related to all the spectrum of the model. But maybe there was not emphasis, or not in analysis, not accurate analysis, on the state of the system. Let's say, so what about the state of a quantum system? So do we have enough knowledge so do we have some tools, some good tools to analyze the state directly? Okay. So the answer was basically no, since of course one could say, okay, we have correlations, and these are indirect way to explore what we have in the state. But the point of this this activity was to explore the state directly, so to provide some good way to address the property of the state with this with these entanglement measures. So there were posed many questions. Basically, in the rest of the talk, I would focus on this: what is the behavior of entanglement close to critical phenomena, and then, of course, all this has also a very general motivation that entanglement is an important resource for quantum computations, but not only, let's say. Okay. Here I make some, give you some idea on the kind of activity that was pushed in this field. Okay, let's assume we have this system. It's a spin system, so a set of localized spins. There is an exchange interaction I choose this anti-ferromagnetic interaction, and then there is an external magnetic field. Okay? So one important feature of this model is that it experiences some global reshuffling of the ground state. So at t equals zero, the ground state for instance, for large H is everything, every spin is aligned to Sz, is one dimension. And in the other direction, let's say in the other limit, H equals zero, follows, for instance, gamma equals one, which is the very simple case, is Sx, Sx, so this means that everything is aligned along Sx. So these are the two extreme points. And there is a way to, so you can tune the ratio between 2H and actually this one, this change interaction, and you can switch from one ground state to the other. But this switch, certain point get very critical. This global reshuffling of the ground state is called quantum phase transition. So it's a phase transition occurring at t equals zero. And for these specific models, it occurs at lambda, which is the ratio between, this is just 2h over j. This lambda is j over 2h at 1. Okay, this is the quantum critical point. So what about the correlation functions? What about all the observable of the model? Of course, they have critical behavior. There are some observable diverge, and they diverge in some very precise way, in some, with some exponents called critical exponents. Okay? So here you see the property of, especially this inset, is the property of bipartite entanglement, let's say entanglement between one guy, one spin, and the other spin in a mixed state. So I trace out all the rest of the system, and I consider the entanglement between two spins. Okay? So it's a bipartite entanglement. So this is a curve for the spatial choice in which you have only in which the two spins are nearest neighbor. And you see that the quantum, this is bipartite entanglement, and that at this point, lambda equal one, there is a quantum phase transition. And the quantum phase transition is not in the bipartite entanglement itself, but in the derivative, in the first derivative. That diverges as a logarithm here. Okay? So you can prove that this divergence is governed by the usual critical exponent. Different color, different size. No. The different size are just numerical, but is a sub solution. So I was saying that actually this divergence occurs with the same the usual critical exponent. So in this case, for people who are familiar with the critical indices, you have the so called z equal nu. Equal 1, okay? Z equal nu equal 1. So it's the Ising universality class. So from this picture, you conclude that there is nothing new, okay, in the entanglement. So it diverges with the same critical exponent. So what is new is the right picture. The right picture is the concurrence itself for at critical point, at lambda equal 1, all the picture is lambda equal 1, and the different cubes corresponds to different gamma. Okay? So this is the value of the concurrence at nearest neighbor. Here is the distance. So is 1 means nearest neighbor concurrence, then 2, and so on. So you say, here you have a given value of a bipartite entanglement. here at a nearest neighbor, next nearest neighbor, this bivartite entanglement has some reduced value, then it vanishes completely. It's zero, exactly zero. It's not just something that it is exponentially decaying. It's just exactly zero. So this is quite curious. This blue curve corresponds to gamma equal 1. This is a purizing model. So when this term is not in the Hamiltonian. All the other fields corresponds to different gammas. But let's argue on this blue curve for gamma equal 1. So this is quite curious situation in which you are, as I said, at a critical point. So you have correlation, usual correlations extend at any scale. So they should have, despite of that, entanglement can be short range. So in a point in which you have long range correlation. So putting all these pictures together, one could conclude that from, let's say, concurrence because it's a measure of bipartite entanglement. So this bipartite entanglement is almost, I mean, for some sides, it's like correlation functions, but there's a profound difference with that. Okay, okay, this was basically the starting point basically this kind of behavior was found, I don't know, in 100 models for spin systems. And basically what I told you is confirmed. So the entanglement does not give you anything more on the scaling analysis, but it is different from correlation, and for instance, the range here is the property of its range is quite remarkable. Okay, as I said, this very first study was done for this class of model. People worked a lot, and recently, let's say recently now, it's 2005, that is, seems ages ago, but was formulated by these guys, by Wusser, Andy Lidar, and other people, some sort of Herrenfest classification scheme for entanglement. And they said they basically provided a theorem. The theorem is the following. Imagine you have Hamiltonian H, which is some H-naught plus perturbation, okay? This lambda are just control parameters. So you can prove that any measure of entanglement, which I call M, is a function of the derivative of the ground state energy with respect to the control parameter. This basically proves that for any second order, for any first order phase transition, you have a discontinuity in this entanglement measure. For second order quantum phase transition, you have a discontinuity of the first derivative of entanglement. This is quite general. This is basically applied to any model. No. This is for any measure related with the density matrix. Okay? So for, imagine you have, you want to study tripartite entanglement, and you have to construct the reduced density matrix that for spin it's 9 by 9, then you can apply the theorem again. For people, a little explanation of how this result was achieved. They applied this Kohn and Hermberg theorem on the density functional guys. This theorem states that any correlation function in the ground state is a unique functional of the density. And through this theorem, you can first argue that this M is a function of the density, and then as a derivative, the density is a derivative of the ground state energy through Hellman-Feynman theorem. So let me remark that basically the picture is clear for what we call ordinary phase transition. So ordinary phase transition, just to call is a name to say Landau symmetry breaking. Okay? So for Landau symmetry breaking transition, basically the picture it's quite fixed. But of course, there are other phase transitions that are not so simple. One of the most spectacular examples, I give you basically two examples of phase transitions violating the simple picture of Landau symmetry breaking. This first picture is a fractional quantum Hall effect. This is a magnetic field. This is the Hall resistivity. I don't know, of course, I think I assume that, you have a two-dimensional electron gas, you apply a strong magnetic field. This is the magnetic field, the applied magnetic field, and this is the Hall resistivity that you measure, basically, transverse resistivity. And let's consider this plateau and this plateau, these two different plateaus. And they basically are two different phases. There is a phase transition between these two phases, but in the system the system has the same symmetry. Doesn't change the symmetry. The symmetry is fixed. Okay? And in fact, people started a lot this kind of transition, and technically, the two plateaus are characterized by two different Chern numbers. So some topological numbers that are called Chern numbers. So this is an example of the topological order in topological phase transitions. One other extreme example is so-called deconfined criticality. So this deconfined criticality is even more complicated, even more intriguing, let's say. What is it? Is it a phase transition switching from say, an L state is, you see, a staggered magnetization, and a valence bond state. So these two phases are both broken. Okay? It's a broken symmetry phase. And these two phases have symmetries that are nothing to do with each other. So to understand this point, I make a very simple example. Imagine you have a Curie transition, let's say in a magnetization transition. Okay? So you have magnetization, you have spontaneous magnetization. In a disordered phase, let's say the spin can point in any direction. Actually, you have SO3 symmetry. But when you reduce the temperature, you cross the Curie temperature, the spins align. So you have a reduction from SO3 to SO2. So actually, it is one of the two, the symmetry of the other, one of the phase, is contained in the other in the symmetry of the other phase. These two phases have nothing to do with each other. Now, the remarkable claim of these people trying to discuss this deconfined criticality is that this quantum phase transition can occur in a continuous way. So it's a second order phase transition, but switching from one phase to another phase completely different, disconnected. Of course, this was not observed. This was observed. And there are still many discussion in this deconfined criticality.
There was an emerging global U1 symmetry at that critical point.
Here,
topological would be?
Mm-hmm. Let's say, imagine you have a one-dimensional system. Only one-dimensional system. So forget about the rest of the system. You have a valence bond state. Okay? This valence bond state is a string order parameter. So it's topological.
But I would call that
insulator, as opposed to a topologically ordered mod insulator that doesn't have any symmetry group.
Yes, but I think the question is a subtle point. I think you have in mind the two-dimensional topological order. In one dimension, I think things are a bit more complicated.
Oh, I see. So you're going to talk about 1D.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for the remark. Actually, these are basically two examples of two exotic transitions. You put in this way. And in the next slide, I would like to enter the one, I would focus to 1D, and I would like to discuss the topological orders in one dimension, which is quite not so easy to understand. So what is topological order? There are several definitions. One definition is the general definition, very general definition. It's just a phase which cannot be described by Landau framework of symmetry breaking. I would have said the topological phase transitions. Okay. How to characterize topological order? Let's say one is ways insensitivity to local perturbation, to any perturbation. And another important test is the ground state degeneracy when you change the boundary conditions. I will give you some example of that, but in two dimensions this means that the ground state degeneracy depends on the number of holes you have in your manifold genus. In one dimension, the ground state degeneracy might depend in the topological ordered system whether you have a periodic bound system with periodic boundary conditions or open. Okay. So discussions how to characterize this to discuss some order parameter of this topological order, topologically ordered phase is one way is topological entanglement entropy. But anyway, I have to say that it was calculated in very in few models, so there is no general consensus and people, it's a complicated object, let's say. The interest in topologically ordered system is fault tolerance, of course, in quantum computation. And very recently, there is a paper by Wen saying that trying to do the same in one dimension. In one dimension, since the situation is a bit more complicated, it turns out that not any kind of perturbation preserves your topological order. There are some specific perturbation that breaks the topological order, other not. So it's a bit more fragile definition of topologically ordered system. But I will give you an example in two dimensions and in one dimension.
The degeneracy?
In one dimension.
In one dimension, yeah. Of Wentz? I'm not familiar with
it. I don't know the specific. Let's say known models where topological order is well known. Hidalgo model is an exact resolvable model it is done by this so-called star operator and plaquette operators. It's it's a gauge symmetry, it's a gauge theory, and at least in the limit where in the limit of low, actually, large J, it's a lattice gauge theory. So a way to quantify this the topology of the system is just to calculate the ground state degeneracy, putting the system in a manifold with genus G. And it turns out that this degeneracy is basically 2 to power 2g, where g is the genus of the system. So next point, it's doing it apply a magnetic field. This is quite spectacular plot, in my opinion. This is the ground state degeneracy that is basically robust up to this point of magnetic field, and after this point, when you cross, you have a splitting of degeneracy. And I mean, this I think is very beautiful evidence of a topological phase transition. And I have to remark that the first, to my knowledge, who explored this situation was Alyosha in 2008. Basically, maybe it was the second time we met, when he was basically discussing this result numerically. Then people made a lot of refinements. So this is two-dimensional, a beautiful example of a topological phase transition. So sorry, I forgot to say that here the system is a paramagnet, here it's fully polarized, paramagnet, topological paramagnet. Here it's fully polarized, okay? So every spin is just online. So what about one dimension? I say one dimension, it's a, I would say it's not topological phase, but you have topological effects. I make an example of AKLT models, here is the Hamiltonian. This is a spin Hamiltonian, spin one, with a biquadratic term here. So with this coefficient 1/3, the system is not exactly solvable, but the ground state can be calculated exactly. And the ground state is so-called matrix product state. I don't want to render all the properties of matrix product state, but let's make a cartoon of what the ground state is. Okay, imagine how is obtained the ground state. So the people did the following. Let's consider the spin 1, which is the gray box with two spots, resolved in terms of two pairs of spin alpha. And then you project out the singlet. Then you have the three states that you would like to have for spin 1. The ground state is just the iterative way of doing these projections, okay? On this spin 1 half spin, on this pair of spin half on spin, on projecting out the singlet. So the main point here is that imagine you put the system in a open boundary conditions, open bound, no closed boundary. So you can prove that this kind of interaction produces some interaction between, let's say, two of the partners of the spin one. So you have here, here, but here this guy does not know how to talk. And actually, this is the degeneracy of the ground state corresponding to the mutual orientation of this spin at the edges of the system. Okay, you have four degenerates. So this is for open boundary condition. But the ground state, it's unique when you close. In fact, this is a model that was very well studied for Haldane compounds, for which there's a violation, remarkable violation of the Lippmann-Schultz theorem, and the ground state is unique in this gap. A way to reveal this topological order in real systems, say, it's consider this string order parameter. It's a not two-point correlation, but it's a non-local correlation. It's A takes the value x, y, z, n, and n prime are just the two lattice points, are just two lattice points. So it's a complicated object, and one can prove that this object produce, I don't want to enter this Tasaki, Lieb, Kennedy transformation anyway. But anyway, this is the order parameter for an order like that. So another good point here is that the entanglement length in a phase like that diverge. So the correlation length is not diverging at all. They are gapped, there is a gap in the spectrum. So the I think now we have the proof that correlation functions decay exponentially. But despite of that, the entanglement is correlate the system at any scale. So I will trace these ingredients in the one-dimensional cluster state. This is my point, my next point. Right. Good point. When I say diverging entanglement length is the so-called length of localizable entanglement. And this localizable entanglement is defined this way. Imagine you have an entangled state, okay? You, many body state. You make a lot of projection, and you want to understand the, let's say, the entanglement between the two guys at a given distance. You make a lot of projections of measures on the local measures, on the remaining of all the other spins. You average the result, and this gives you the localizable entanglement. And this range is the range of localizable entanglement. Let's do, maybe, okay, I do the calculations. Do you have chalk? Chalk? Yeah. So let's consider the GHZ state. Okay? So imagine your system is just three states, this one, okay? This is a plus, sorry, I forgot. Okay, GHZ. And the point is that if you make a trace out this, for instance, this third spin, these two are both are still in a factor state, okay? But if you make a projection of this state on, say, on a Bell state, which is up plus down, this is, let's say, the third site, you obtain which is maximally entangled. Okay? So this is the very simple philosophy of localizable entanglement. So it's something conceptually very different from bipartite entanglement. It arises from multipartite entanglement, and you localize all the entanglement you have from two guys. But it results from multipartite entanglement. So this kind of entanglement is as diverging length. Okay? In a state which is a valence bond state. So how to describe this phenomenon? Let's start from localization. Okay, I make a small detour to understand.
You may go
into. Okay, I skip this to transparency. It's transparency, and I simply tell you that for in topologically ordered state, you have this the edge spin are more correlated than the spin in the bulk. Basically, these are results of the enhanced correlation or the basically frozen correlation that you have at the edge of the system. These results arise also in the entanglement. Okay, let's. I have 10 minutes, according to me.
Yeah.
10 or 15?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's consider cluster states. In the next transparency, I give you a proof that in cluster states there are topological effects. Let's consider one-dimensional cluster states. And one-dimensional cluster states means that this is the state, and this is the unique eigenvalue of so-called stabilizers. These are the stabilizers over there. So let's construct the Hamiltonian, the cluster Hamiltonian. This is obtained summing up this cluster of variables. This stabilizers. This is the starting point, cluster. So these are Hamiltonian, and the ground state is a cluster state. But I constructed in this way. Let's make a simple analysis in n equal 4. And this is the spectrum for periodic boundary conditions. Okay? You have a unique ground state. You have degenerate excitations. And these are the states. So two observations, let's say, the reason for which I show you this very simple result. You have a sort of bipartite order. You see, you have at each double lattice sites, you have orientation along Z. And on the other sublattice, you have orientation along X. This is the first observation. And the second observation is that the polarization along Z controls basically the sigma X configuration. So these two observations are quite important to make calculations, since, I mean, the calculations could be complicated otherwise. But resorting to these symmetries of the state, basically, you can calculate, let's say, entanglement by final call. So keep in mind that basically you have this bipartition and this, you have this polarization, controlled polarization. So what about spin correlation, two-point correlation, and entanglement, two-spin entanglement? So in cluster states, you can prove that any two-spin correlation is vanishing. Any two-spin entanglement is vanishing. So you have global entanglement, where I say global entanglement, for instance, you can consider the relative entropy, and this you can prove it's an alpha. And you have also string correlation. The string correlation is basically one, normalized. So it seems that a good candidate to be topological order phase state. But let me give you the final smoking gun of the topological order in a few seconds. Let me simply tell you that this is the more general model that we studied. Okay? So you have cluster Hamiltonian, you have Heising interaction, and we have magnetic field, external magnetic field. So I think it's important. People didn't care very much about three models with three spin interaction, because it's very difficult to find them with solids, with magnets. Okay, but you can realize this model with atom props. Okay, then basically the idea is just to make a triangular lattice, and then this three-spin interaction is a result of a correlated tunneling, correlated hopping. Like you see the boson here, and this tunneling, it's modulated by the density that you have here. And so this produces this three-spin interaction. Yes. I'm talking about exactly this. No, you can. Right. Good question. Okay. You shine with a longitudinal laser with half of the wavelength of the original laser. And actually, you can confine everything on this stripe. So what about the phase diagram? This was These were results by Bartlett and co-workers. They studied the model, this general model, using duality or some symmetry arguments. So here is a self-dual point of the Hamiltonian, when sigma z and sigma y are zero, and this is sigma x and sigma y are zero, and you have only one magnetic field. This is a self-dual point. Okay? And this is also some dual point, and can be obtained exactly. You can establish, let's say, this the existence of this phase transition exactly for a simple argument is that, this point corresponds to lambda equals zero, so you don't have this part of the Hamiltonian. Okay, this when you apply duality can go to sigma y, and this when it's applied along z is sigma x, and the critical phase there is at lambda equal one, at b equal one. So here and here, no doubts. These are quantum phase transitions and the second order phase transition. I don't know whether it's visible, but the other information is that result by Panispakos and Plenio, they measured localizable entanglement. Localizable entanglement here, the length. This is the length of the localizable entanglement diverging all the interval B in where we have this cluster phase. Okay? But the correlation functions do not diverge. I mean the range, the correlation thing. So how do we describe this phase and this phase transition? Okay? So let's apply the Jordan-Wigner, this model, seems complicated, it's very simple, it's free Fermi. And with free Fermi, you diagonalize, and you establish, just analyzing the dispersion, that actually you have a z equal nu equal 1, and the phase transition is at lambda equal 1. You recover duality, of course, I studied everything at zero magnetic field, external magnetic field. Okay? This is a boundary term, and this boundary term vanishes in thermodynamic limit. This is, let's say, it's very simple. But let me give you the smoking gun of the existence of dual, of the topological order in the cluster state. The way in which I proved is that I make the description of the system is of Majorana fermions. With Majorana fermions, you have Hamiltonians like that. And it's important that this L range for 2 to n minus 1. So it's real open a boundary condition. And you see that there are this one spinless fermion. It's resolved in terms of two Majorana fermions. You have interactions between Majorana fermions. But the point is that is when lambda equals zero, this A2 and A4 do not interact with nothing. So we have four-fold degeneracy for this. Okay? So this corresponds to spin. So there is not simply artificial description of the system in terms of Majorana fermions. Because if you consider the spin picture, this degeneracy corresponds again to this spin flip to the possibility to make a spin flip with the edge spins. 5 minutes. I calculated correlation functions, and it turned out a quite complicated pattern of correlations. This is this object, the correlation along x, and you have a strange pattern of this correlation. Actually, you have and the spin along the x direction are correlated each three sides. So 3, 6, 9, and so on. The other correlation for R is not multiple of 3, are exactly 0. There is a selection rule for that. Then you make the correlation functions along y, and along y you don't have this strange pattern. But the most surprising, in my opinion, is the magnetization. Magnetization is calculated exactly here, and you have this exponent, minus 3h. And basically, I make a bet on this. This, in my opinion, was 1/8, let's say, Ising class. For the Ising model, you obtain 1/8. And instead, it's 3/8, so it's not Ising class. So it's a different, beta is different, it's not 1/8. So zeta equal nu equal 1, but beta is not. So don't know. Actually, I'm calculating entanglement entropy to calculate the central charge to see whether you can decouple the chain in, I don't know what, in several chains. My guess is that you have 3 Ising chains. The system should be, might be equivalent to 3 Ising chains. But this is a simple guess.
Entanglement, what about entanglement?
I calculated geometric entanglement. And this geometric entanglement is the log of this fidelity. So you have, this is the ground state of the model. You try to understand the closest separable state to this, to the ground state. So it's non-trivial. In general, I think it's very complicated calculation. But resorting to this symmetry of the cluster states, you can boil the problem to a problem with where this optimization among all the possible orientation of the separable state is a well-defined problem with the 4 angles, that are the 2 Euler angles per side, just because the state was bipartite, was a periodicity on double lattice side. And then you have 2 angles per side, 4 angles, you can minimize, you can or maximize, depends. And then you obtain this plot here, and you have a divergence, and here you have a tail. I was not convinced about that this was not, was a fine size effect, and then I calculated for very many, many sides, and it actually is still finite for 1,000 sides. But in the cluster state, you have a phase, the cluster state, the entanglement, the global entanglement, so-called one-tangle saturates, and then it decays. So this is a phase transition between topological phase, cluster state, and an ordinary magnet. And this phase transition is second order. So it's an example of exotic phase transition. And I think was surprisingly, this was unnoticed, especially in the community of people working in quantum computation. People were convinced that there was no topological order in cluster states. Of course, the next question is two-dimensional. What about two-dimensional? So we did some very rough calculations. It's just mean field calculations. And usually, these mean field calculations you cannot trust. But this, it gives, again, transition at one in any dimensionality, any. People were, with some experience in duality usually conclude when we have this result, that this is a dual point in two dimensions. Okay? I cannot prove this, but there are aspects that this is a dual, this result from duality also in two dimensions. So there is this strange transition. I don't know much about the phases. And this paper proving that cluster state for periodic boundary conditions, this was done for periodic boundary conditions, it's again valence bond state. I forgot to mention that even for cluster states, you have diverging entanglement length. So it's very similar to what you had valence bond state. Okay. I think I proved that in cluster states, there is an hidden order. And this hidden order is of topological origin. And actually, when you try to quench cluster states or cluster order with the Ising model, you can do, and you switch to a magnetic phase continuously with a second order phase transition. So I would say it's a very simple example of exotic quantum phase transition. Okay, thank you very much.
So the claim of this unusual critical exponent reflects somehow this new universality class, is that what you're saying? That's because it's not Lando?
To be sure, I want to see the central charge. Say, with central charge, I would understand whether you have simple, that your model might be equivalent to coupled Ising chains, and then I wouldn't say there is a new universality class.
Right.
But if there's nothing to do with that, I would say it's a universality class. But look,
so
I'm quite convinced that the central charge is
three coupled chains. You still get
three
charge one,
yes.
Or
three coupled changes, three knots, one half. Each it's one half. C of Ising, it's one half. So I'm quite convinced that for my model C is one three half. Then I would say it's equivalent to three coupled chains. But I'm still, it's not simple calculation, but I didn't have time to, it's not a difficult calculation, but I didn't have time to do it. Okay.
Is there any question? Go ahead.
I'm still intrigued by that entanglement length and the correlation length. Can you use that, for example, to study, I don't know, non-locality in certain systems? I don't know.
Non-locality? What do you mean?
Well,
I mean, you're talking about this entanglement length in the first slides?
Yeah.
Or in the entanglement length in localized quantum? Mm-hmm. The first one?
The thing is, what's the first one?
Yeah. First one. In principle, yes. In principle, yes. The one is that to measure equal to the entanglement, the bivartite entanglement. For the localizable entanglement, people are producing a lot of, let's say, protocols to entangle the far distant speeds. And this is, might be more robust kind of entanglement.
So of course it was a very interesting discovery that the localizable entanglement in the AKLT as a is infinite entanglement length, right? And because it tells you that entanglement is not just correlation functions. Because as you said, correlation functions decay exponentially when you have a gap about the ground state, and whatever this is not happening in this case. You have a gap with the ground state, but you still have an infinite entanglement length.
Right.
Okay. So this happens except at the AKLT point, which is that Hamiltonian that you showed us. So if
So
this is not robust at all, right? So if you add a slight perturbation, how is the entanglement length? What happens?
For KLT.
Is it known?
For KLT.
Yeah,
for KLT
so
is known.
Huh?
For KLT is known. Actually, you have divergent exactly at the AKLT point.
And immediately
No, you don't have it. So it's true for this very special valence bond state.
I don't think that's correct. I think if you have the isotropic, namely the rotational symmetric Zeeharden phase in Spinman chain, then basically even the Heisenberg point, we have infinite lengths in entanglement.
Which one? Let's say
just
the KLT.
No, apart from so the even the, we have the standards of the anti-ferromagnetic.
Okay, we're talking about another model.
Heisenberg chain, but. Basically, this AKLT is the part of this Heraclitian case.
No, right. No, this the case I had in mind was a perturbation of HLT for which you can have exact ground state. It's a quantum group.
Using the vortex model.
Yes, exactly. That might be right. Part of the argument is that for those class of models we have a proof. But you said that actually for other models we have.
Some people consider somehow the Spearman chain, Alyosha, using the Heisenberg term like the S dot S and bicolor term using the S dot S squared.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the basic ratio between these two terms, right? And as far as somehow this ratio is close to the AKT point, namely the one third, then basically you have the infinite
okay.
In the atomic length.
Interesting.
Maybe I'd like to ask just one quick question. So the in order to somehow show the basic topological nature of the 1D cluster set, you use the basically the mapping to the Majorana chain.
Yes.
And usually when we are talking about the topological order system, basically the locality is very important, right? If we have the global unitary, basically there's no difference between somehow the topological order system and the standard system because in this case they just map each other. And it seems that the Jordan-Wigner translation is global transformation, so you may somehow change the locality here, but how can I see somehow still the original cluster state has topological nature?
Might be this point, this is the question or no? See, if I understood your question, the point is the following. Imagine you have a 1D system. You can prove that for any state, you can put some entangled state to a factorized state at the
back. Exactly, is my point.
Yes, okay. This works for one dimension, also for AKT.
Yeah, but the case of the AKT, that is somehow the symmetry protection was the issue, right? As you somehow pointed out during your talk. So, do you know what kind of symmetry do you need?
No. For this model?
That's this link inversion symmetry is called.
I think
I need the reference book. It says what is the symmetry.
Is this kind of the discrete symmetry, like time reversal symmetry?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the AKT model, we have this inversion symmetry. Yes.
This link.
This
yeah, I think the Shaoguan Wen and his colleague showed for the case of the 1D.
Yes, Orman.
Huh? Yeah, also Orman et al. Somehow they showed that the 1D Haldane space was protected either time reversal
or inversion symmetry. So you were asking I was referring to the same thing.
Okay. Is there any more questions? Otherwise, let's thank the speaker once again.